Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans. This is what we've been studying lately. The book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul. It's the first book that we have recorded in the New Testament, written by Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have studied part of this last week, and we're going to kind of review a little bit. Notice that he emphasizes, beginning in verse 1, what we're going to begin with. But before that, we're going to ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts and bless all those that weren't able to be here today and so forth. Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Oh, how faithful and how beautiful this word is. Always the same. And we praise you for that. And we are believing you today to enrich us and show us, Lord God, what you're trying to say to us through this word right here in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, Lord. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We're just going to look at a few points before we get down to what we're really going to be studying. But remember that in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we emphasized and talked a lot about how it isn't by anything that we do that we receive goodness from God. It's by our faith in him, believing in him. And so as he says there in that, therefore being justified by faith. The word justified there actually means to make righteous. So to be righteous means that we're born again. We are saved. We have received the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new nature. Christ's life is in us. And as we manifest and walk with God, we manifest the life of Christ. It's going to come out of us. It's going to be seen in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The righteousness of Christ. You know, there's an old saying, say, we want to be like Christ. We want us to be like Christ. The way to be like Christ is to yield to God, not try to have our own way about everything all the time, but let God work in us and give us this way of really fully believing. And notice in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith, and to this grace wherein we stand. We have access. Praise the Lord. The Lord gives us a way. You and I can just pray anytime. We can pray anywhere. We probably all have prayed many, many different places. God has been with us, has protected us, kept us from evil many, many times. Even bad accidents and things like that. The Lord was faithful. I remember one time going to a fellowship meeting with my little baby boy, David, only about 3 months old, and it was real icy and bad. We were driving from Belen, New Mexico, which is about 30 miles south of Albuquerque. We had to go to this fellowship meeting up there, and all of a sudden, we went off of a big, deep place, the car and all, just all the way down. And Earl was with us at that time. He was not a married man, just a kid. And oh, it was terrible, you know. Here I am over in this seat trying to hold my little baby. And we're just going, it looked like we're going to turn the car completely over. But we prayed and the car stayed upright. But it had such ice and stuff that we couldn't get the car to drive down there. So Roy and Earl had to get out and push the car quite a ways till we got to a side road, and I had to guide the car with little baby screaming. But the Lord was there. Oh, praise the Lord for so many times that he was always there for us. So we have this access by faith. No matter what comes or goes in our lives, God is always there taking care of us, watching after us. It's so precious to know the Lord. So notice, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I hope everybody here today has that attitude. I am so thankful for what God has done for me. I know how faithful he has been over the years with all the illness and everything my husband went through. But God was there, always, always. And he is that same thing for you. He will be that God that never, never fails. He will be that Lord that will always be there. And no matter what it is, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read verse 4 just quickly. Patience. Patience is, it says, knowing that tribulation works patience in verse 3. Boy, patience, it's hard to have patience, isn't it? We're humans. That's why that we have a little problem with patience. But, you know, as God works in our life, he changes us. He helps us to be more like Christ. That's what we want. Christ is the beautiful, wonderful Son of God. No failures, nothing. That's what I hope that everybody in our midst here today would like to be sweet and wonderful like Jesus. And you know what? As we have Jesus in our life, we're going to be getting to be changed. Gradually, sometimes it takes a time for us to be changed and really have Christ as number one in our life. Let's just go ahead and read verse 9. He says that the latter part of verse 8, he says, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we will be saved from wrath through him. Justified. Oh, hallelujah. God has justified us. He has made us righteous. Keep that in your mind. When you see the word justified, it means that he made us righteous. How did he do that? He allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. Inside of our being, inside of our mind, Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior. And we have the life of Christ in us. The way that we have that manifested is by yielding our body as a living sacrifice unto God. It's what the scripture says. It's called a living sacrifice. I am alive. I am a human being. But, and you are alive, you are a human being. So we don't wait and say, well, when I get to be an old person, that's when I'm going to yield to God. Or when I finally get to heaven, you know, no, it's right now. We yield our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. So we are justified. We are made righteous by his blood because we couldn't do it in ourselves. I hope everybody realizes that. There is no way for you to be saved by yourself. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ask him to come into your life and be there with you. And, oh, he will. He is just, he loves to come and be in our lives. And he says, we shall be saved. Now being justified by his blood, Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. There's going to be wrath one of these days. There's going to be judgment come on this world. And so these are the things that we had for our last lesson. But we're going to go on now to verse 12, okay? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is what took place when Adam sinned there in the Garden of Eden and disobeyed God in what he knew was right because his wife was wanting to take and eat of the fruit and all this stuff. And God had told him not to, but Adam loved her, and so he went that way. But notice he's called the man of sin. Yes, from then on that we have had a sin nature in us. Every one of us here today has a sin nature. It's horrible, that's the way it is. But you see, the way we have gained victory is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he gives us a new life. And we are made a new creation. We were an old creation where we didn't know the Lord, where we didn't know salvation, and now we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have Christ in us. Praise the Lord. Scripture says the hope of glory. So Adam was the one that created this sin in the human race, but the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who redeemed us and brought us out of that by our salvation. As he says there in that latter part of the verse, this sin passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. They have all sinned. Another scripture says that everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, the law didn't come until about 1500. And after the law, age of law came, God gave Moses the law of commandments. And before he could even get down off of the big mountain Sinai, there they'd already broke the law and built a golden calf and were dancing around with no clothes on. And boy, a lot of us would have said, hooey, go on. He didn't. He worked with them. His own brother, who was going to be the high priest, was not walking with the Lord very well there, was he? Because he was egging it on. But praise the Lord that's when the law was brought into being, in that 1500 years of the age of law. And it was very, very hard for the Israelites to keep that law. And you know what? We're not under the law today. I hope everybody here knows that we are in a new group. We are in the age that is called the grace age. It's called the church age. You see, Israel still tries to keep the law. And I'll tell you this again. I told somebody this yesterday, and I probably told you before. Do you know that there are hundreds and thousands of Israelis right over there in Israel that do not believe in God? Can you believe that? That is what has been quoted in articles and things that I have read. Very few of the people of Israel really believe in God. That's amazing, because they were God's chosen people, right? But they're really going through a lot of stuff right now. My goodness. So, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. The word imputed means that God does not attribute that to us. If we had sin, we needed to be, you know, believers. And so now that we are believers in Christ, the sin there is not attributed to us. It's not given to us or accounted to us. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. A lot of words, strange words, aren't they? Similitude. It means not like Adam's transgressions. So death reigned from Adam to Moses. Why? Because death is the penalty of sin. That's the Bible teaches that. By death, we are treated about sin because of that. A lot of people don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and many of them die without knowing Jesus. But we have life because we are believers in Christ. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are headed for heaven. Heaven is the place we are going to be one of these days, very, very soon. And it's all because of His marvelous grace that He would give His whole life for us, that we might have life and this beautiful deliverance and be in heaven with the Lord. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. So it says, even after them that had not sinned after the similitude or as Adam's transgression. We didn't do Adam's transgression, but yet we had a need for Christ. We had a need because we were sinners. See, that was a similitude as of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, that's interesting because Adam was a figure. He's called the first man Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. The first man Adam. The second man Adam is the Lord from heaven, it says. And so Christ, of course, is the figure of him that was to come, but it was shown in Adam. That scripture that I quoted there is 1 Corinthians 15:45, if you want to write it down, where it says, talks about Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, he's going to talk about this offense. Another word for it is the trespass. What did Adam do that was wrong? He loved Eve, so why did he not have the privilege of going over there and eating the same fruit that she did? Well, he could have. If he could not, if he decided he wouldn't go and be with Eve anymore. And so he did do that. So if we read this verse 15, the word offense is another word for that is trespass. But not as the trespass also is the free gift. The trespass was that Adam didn't obey God, and it plunged the whole human race into sin. That's why that every person who is born of the flesh, born common, has to be born again, because that's what Jesus said. He said that he had come that we might be born again. And the way we get that is by praying to the Lord, asking him to save us, and he will, and we have then a new creation life that is in us, in our brains, in our heart. Our heart is redeemed. We are saved. We are the children of the living God, the scripture says. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise the Lord. So he says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We have two men to talk about. First, Adam, who went against the rules, went against God, and ate of the tree, and he pitched the whole human race into a sinful condition. From that point on, humanity had to be born again. They had to be saved. And God worked all that out, didn't he? Had a great plan. Through the Old Testament, they believed in God, and God gave them a new life, a new being. But it was all based upon the time when Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross. That was what it was all about. It would never have worked if Jesus hadn't died on the cross. It would have all just been in sin, just like everybody else. But he says, notice that the offense of one, many be dead. But then he says in the latter part, but by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The gift of grace. What a gift. What a gracious, wonderful gift. I'm so glad God has given us the gift. I was raised in a family that believed in the grace of God. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I heard that message when I was very, very young. Praise the Lord. So as the verse says, much more the grace of God. We start seeing these little words, much more. It's kind of interesting. You might want to look it up sometime just to see about it. Because in this book of Romans, there's a number of much mores that Paul talks about. And the word much, you know what that means? It means plenteous, long, many, often. Something that happens often and often and often. God says, this is more, much more, much more. Maybe we feel like we don't deserve so much from God, see? But he gives us much more. That's so precious. Because Christ died for our sins, and he saved us, giving us a new life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So much, the word much means plenteous, long, many, and often. And that's what the Lord's done in my life. I know he's done it in your life. If he hadn't done that, we'd still all be sitting out there somewhere. We wouldn't be really yielding our life to the Lord. He does this all the time for us. He just keeps giving us much more and much more and much more. Many more blessings, many more things. And then the word more, it means a greater degree, a better thing, so much the more. You ever thought about that, what that meant? That was a real blessing to me, just studying that again this time. I've heard many things in my lifetime, but this was beautiful to think of how the Lord loves us so much that he didn't just give us a little tiny thing, you know. Okay, I'm going to give you a blessing now. This is yours. That's not what he did. He gave us so much more. Oh, praise the Lord. How blessed we are. We are so blessed. just honor the Lord Jesus and the Father God and tell him how thankful you are that you have so much more. You have so much more. Such a blessing. Notice what he says there. What verse am I on anyway? The much more. Let's see. Praise the Lord. That's verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Much more. There's so much more to it, isn't there? A lot of people never really learn the Word of God because they're not in a church that teaches the Word of God a lot. And this is one thing that we do. We feel it's very, very important for us to learn the Word of God. Read at home. Read the Word of God. If you don't understand what you're reading, ask for help because we have all kinds of books. We have every kind of books imaginable that our teachers in the past have taught and published. And you can have a book to be home with you so that you can understand everything that the Lord is wanting us to know. Much more. This is the Amplified version on verse 9 where it says, much more than being now justified by his blood. It says, therefore, since we have been justified, and this word means declared free from the guilt of sin by his blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him? I enjoyed that. That was beautiful, beautiful. That is what it said. All right, we're going to verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. Now that's Adam he's talking about there, that Adam was condemned and cast out of the Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. But so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Okay, you and I, what does the scripture says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we were born again, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, did that mean that we would never sin again? Did that mean that I'm now perfect? Everybody has to recognize me because I am perfect. That's not it at all. We still have an old nature. We still have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for things that we say or do. It's important that you and I try to let God have his way in our life. And really let him. It's a free gift. In verse 16, it's a free gift. Notice that. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. There's many, many trials and tests that happen, but we have victory. Hallelujah. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now that was Adam. His offense is what threw us into this situation that we don't have the Lord as our Savior right off. And it's a whole process of receiving the Lord as our Savior into our lives. So one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. So there's a much more again there. I like much more. There's a whole bunch of them in the New Testament, 19, in fact, 19 in Paul's writings. And some of them don't say the same things too much, but he'll say much more, much more. And you know what? It's unique. I like to look up things that are unique. No other of the prophets or teachers used much more. Only Paul says much more. Did you know that? It's interesting. 19 times in the New Testament, he uses the word much more. Now, what does that speak to us? It's that what we have is extra. It's a lot more than what we might not have, because if we learn the teaching of Apostle Paul, and we learn about our salvation, how it's eternal, how it's so blessed to us, and all of these things, we just have much more. We have such a blessing. I just enjoyed looking that up. It was so, so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Much more, the grace of God, much more. The word much means largely and abundantly and large anyway, and many. Much more means there's lots. There's many other things to think about. So that's how blessed we are. We might have been confused at one time and didn't realize exactly what God did for us. But he has blessed us so wonderfully. It's just a wonderful thing. So let's read on in our text here. Notice he says, they which receive the abundance of grace, in verse 17, of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, both of all of you know, a lot of you really know from experience, the devil is always going to try to defeat you because he hates us. He hates us. We are the children of the living God. And the way to victory is to walk in this power of the Holy Spirit and reading the Word of God and laying hold of what this Word tells us in overcoming. And if we will do that, we will be kind, we will love one another, we will show that to others of our family or anyone that there is. We need to practice that, that we have abundance of grace. We have more than we even need. God's grace, always there, always taking care of us. Oh, I thank God. I know that the Lord takes care of me, and I know that he takes care of all of his people so much because he loves us so much. And we need to realize that. And since we have Christ in our lives, we need to manifest Christ. That's the way that the Lord wants. So we have this abundance of grace, of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. The righteousness of Christ should be in our life daily. That means we walk with God. We don't get angry. We don't, you know, it's fleshly to let the devil rule us that way, where we might not really do what God wants us to do. But to yield our lives to God and just let that righteousness of Christ come through our life. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That was Adam. His failure brought condemnation to the whole human race. Even so, by the righteousness of one, which is Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification by life. Oh, praise the Lord for the free gift. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that, didn't he? For by grace, he said, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself? It is the gift of God. That's another scripture. What is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The words of Jesus Christ himself. Praise the Lord. So he reigns in life for us. Going ahead now to verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam again, he's speaking about, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Praise the Lord. To be made righteous. Now, that's not in ourselves. The word means just, innocent, holy, and righteous. That's what it means. You're not righteous in yourself. You're not because you're such a good person. It's no way that way. What it is by yielding our lives, our bodies, as instruments of righteousness unto God, then we begin to manifest characteristics of God. Praise the Lord, and it's so beautiful. We manifest innocence and holiness and righteousness. And it isn't a fake thing. It's a real growth and a thing that God has done in us. It's working in us. That's why it's so important. All righty. So going on now, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. Now, why would the law? God would say, I'm going to give you this law, Moses, and you have to go down and give it to all these people, and they're already sinning, they're already doing all this stuff down there. And what this is going to do, it's going to cause the offense might abound. And where sin abounds then, grace is going to abound greater. Why was God doing that? Boy, they failed immediately. If you read the Old Testament, you know, while he was up there getting the law, they were down here creating an idol and worshiping him and no clothes on. I mean, and that's really sinful, isn't it? The offense abounded, and it was shown forth that mankind needed Christ. They couldn't be saved by keeping the law. They were constantly failing. It got so bad that 10 tribes of the children of Israel just went off into idolatry. You know that, don't you? Read the Old Testament. You'll learn. And the Judaism, the two tribes that were Judah, they were called, they weren't following the Lord either. They were ready to kill Jesus Christ when he came. So, you know, this is the way it was. But oh, praise the Lord, that the Lord decided grace. It wasn't, he didn't just make up his mind the last minute and say, well, I'm going to put them out from under the law and I'm going to put them into the age of grace. It was already planned because Jesus Christ came and died for us and we are forgiven of our sins when we come to know him as our Lord and Savior. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 20, much moreover the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace. Oh, I thank God for grace. Praise the Lord. That beautiful, beautiful thing that we have with the Lord that he just keeps on giving to us. All who are not believed will suffer in hell, but those who believe in heaven are the children of God. And we have the grace of God, which he gives to us just constantly giving us more and more things. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, how thankful. I hope everybody here realizes that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have eternal life. We quoted John 3:16 a while ago where Jesus said that. We have eternal life. Let's look at one scripture back in John 10, Jesus' words, and then we're going to close. John 10, just another portion that he talks about. It's verse 28 is what we're going to turn to. Praise the Lord. Now, there are a lot of teachings in different churches that we don't have eternal life. But by saying we don't have eternal life once we are born again, it's saying that God lies, that Jesus lies, because he says this several times. And right here in this 28th verse, he says, and I give unto them, that means he bestowed or he granted to us, eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They said that. There are people today that would stone believers in Christ who believe that we are saved eternally. Once you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal salvation. That's what Jesus himself said. No great thing that you might do will give you eternal salvation. The great thing that must be done is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and he will give us that eternal salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.